Ruth Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church Radio broadcast already in progress.
For where he was to be dedicated, praise God, by his parents, yes, back to God. Yes. You see, the mother of this child, in other words, Mary, in this case, was considered unclean for seven days after giving birth, yeah, according to the law of Moses. Yeah. But on the eighth day, praise God, she could enter into the temple for the dedication. Yeah. And it was during the dedication, a blood sacrifice, a redemption, yeah, was also required, yes, of the parents. Yes, amen. And see, in this blood sacrifice, typically consisted of a young bull,
yes, sir,
or right, a lamb.
That's right.
But if the family, yeah, was not well to do,
yes, sir, yes,
or were not able, praise God, yeah, they could substitute.
Yeah.
The lamb, they could substitute the goat, uh-huh, praise God, for two little birds. Amen. So we find that Mary and Joseph, that's what they did. They had two little turtle doves.
Yes, they did.
Praise God, because if we look at the life of Joseph and Mary at that time, we could see that their life was a life of struggle. Amen. In other words, that trip to Bethlehem cost them some money, praise God, and they barely had enough just to make the trip, praise God, let alone trying to go and find and buy a bull, a lamb for a sacrifice. So they were able to sacrifice what they had, and that was two little turtle doves. You see, at the temple that day was a man by the name of Simeon. Amen. Also at that day was a prophetess by the name of Anna. I won't talk about Anna today, praise God, because I don't know whether or not Anna got the gift that she wanted. But the text tells me, praise God, that Simeon got the gift that he really wanted. Praise God, because he said, I thank the Holy Ghost for allowing me to see the Savior, yeah, praise God, to see the Lord's child before I leave this world, praise God. So I would say that he got, on this first Christmas, I would say that he got the gift that he really wanted. So as we look at our text, I want us to consider three things, praise God, that were involved in this perfect gift, as we look at Simeon's prayer of dedication. Praise God, the very first thing that we see, that there is the gift of salvation. All right. Amen. Verse 30 says, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. You see, when Simeon held up this child, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about the same Holy Spirit that revealed God's promise to Simeon. Let him know that his eyes have seen thy salvation. You see, the Bible tells us that Simeon was a just man. He was a devout man. He was a man that was full of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Amen. The Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not see death, amen, until he seen the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Is there any way we can lower that just a little bit? If not, I'm going to go ahead and preach. Praise God. You see, so in verse 30, amen, he says, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. You see, this was not just any salvation. Praise God. It was not just some geopolitical leader that many in Rome who had occupied Jerusalem was hoping for, But this was the real and the true salvation.
Yeah.
In other words, this salvation was redemption.
Yeah.
It was a purchase made in blood for the heart and soul of mankind. This salvation wasn't going to just free them from the chains of political captivity, but would release them from the chain of original sin. Amen. I was, my wife can attest to this. Yesterday morning, I was sitting looking at television, just flipping through the channels like I do, because I look at a lot of religious broadcasts. And on CTN, amen, they had a reenactment of Harriet Tubman's, praise God, Underground Railroad.
Yeah.
Amen. And while I was looking at this sermon, I said, now, Harriet was getting people from Virginia all the way to Pennsylvania.
Right.
Praise God, because they knew if they got to Pennsylvania, praise God, it was freedom. In other words, it was salvation. Well, I'm not talking about that kind of salvation today. I'm talking about a salvation that took us, praise God, and broke those chains, not just chains of slavery, not just chains of oppression, but I'm talking about broke the chains of sin, praise God, that resonates in our lives. You see, this promise went all the way back, if you will, to Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, when God cursed he cursed the serpent, he cursed Adam, and he cursed Eve in the Garden of Eden. Oh, y'all remember the story, because at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, he had to say these words. He said, "And I will put enmity between the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Oh, yes. You see, this promise was from about 4,000 years when the first man, Adam, and his wife violated God's law for the first time, and sin entered into this world. You see, the promise of salvation that was made to them with this first sacrifice to temporarily cover their sins was becoming a permanent fixation with the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the form of this baby that was born in this lonely manger. You see, this gift of salvation, which covers our sins, though they were like scarlet and they were washed whiter than snow, according to Isaiah, praise God, is available to us today by faith. You see, no work, praise God, on our part need to be done. Amen. I'm getting ready to bust somebody's bubble. There is no work that you need to do, praise God, other than accepting what he's already done. Praise God. He has already paved the way, praise God, by allowing his son to come down here, walk this earth, praise God. I'm about ready to preach now, y'all. Walk this earth, praise God, for 33 years, and then catch a flight on a cloud to go back to be at the Father's right hand. You see, no work on our part is required. He sent his son to bring salvation to all who are willing, praise God, to accept this gift that keeps on giving. Oh my God, I got to say that. You go out and buy your flat screen television if you want to. Go on and buy your brand new car if you want to. Go ahead and buy that brand new house. But I'm going to tell you about a gift that keeps on giving.
And I'm talking about the gift of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we see in this text the very first thing. I'm going to cut this thing a little bit. Praise God. We see the gift of salvation. But I can go number two. There is the gift of revelation. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
That was a revelation. Praise God. Look what verses 31 to 32 says. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. I like that. Praise God. I really like that. Praise God. Now, how many of y'all has been in our Bible study the last one? We just looked at the council going to Jerusalem. Praise God. And we did that after we saw, praise God, the Paul and Barnabas' first missionary journey. Praise God. And we see what happened. I said that it was a light to the Gentiles. You see, a light of revelation was made for the Gentiles. And I don't know about you, but praise God, this was huge. Because as I look around, I'm looking at a bunch of Gentiles in here today. I feel some Gentiles in here today. See, we are in fact Gentiles, so that when I look at this text as a revelation unto the Gentiles, praise God, this revelation that God has given us is the revelation of himself. And this revelation comes to us in two forms. Reverend Babin, can I give you the two forms? The first form that it comes in is the fact it comes in the incarnate Word. In other words, folks call it the Logos. Praise God. In other words, John chapter 1 verse 1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was what? The Word was with God. And the Word was in fact God. So this revelation comes to us in the form of Jesus Christ himself. But you want to know a second way this revelation comes to us? Amen. It comes to us in what we call the written word. In other words, the incarnate word is the Logos. The written word is the Rhema word. You see, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, when Jesus had been led up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Devil told him, praise God, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones, praise God, into bread. Look what he tells him at Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. He said, but he answered and said unto him, it is written, praise God, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You see, the revelation we have of God came in the form of Jesus and in his written word. And let me tell you something about them. They are, in fact, the same. Praise God. One writer puts it this way. One writer says, we can celebrate because we have the revelation of God in person. Praise God. And we also have it in pen. Praise God. The pen, praise God, is in fact the written word of God. And let me tell you something. Both of them are, in fact, the same. Amen. Here is the beauty of the word of God for us. Because we know Jesus Christ by the word of God, which reveals him to us. But we also measure, praise God, the written word of God by what has been revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of things that have been revealed about Jesus Christ in the word of God. Hallelujah. Can I just tell you one thing that was revealed? It says that in him there was no sin at all. And guess what? I stand on the word of God. Praise God. For those of us in the body of Christ, we cannot and we should never separate one from the other. We should never separate God incarnate from God that is responding, which reflected in the written word. Praise God. The rhema word. Praise God. And because the word is just that powerful. The word is that powerful. That's why I tell people, praise God, when you hear teaching, when you hear preaching, and when people preach and teach the word of God, the word of God is powerful. Praise God. My mind goes back. When the Spirit of God spoke to Cornelius, told Cornelius, praise God, I heard your prayer. You've been praying, praise God. And what I want you to do, I want you to send some men, praise God, down to Joppa. And I want you to go, praise God, to Joppa. And I want you to go into the house of Simon the Tanner. And I want you to seek one by the name of Peter. Praise God. Don't y'all know that was something? And guess what? When he found Peter, praise God, they went into Peter's house. Praise God. When Peter finally got to Cornelius' house, when he walked in, Cornelius bowed down and began to worship Peter. And Peter said unto him, praise God, don't you bow down to me. I'm a man just like you. Getting back to our Sunday school lesson this morning. John the Baptist, praise God, even though they were worshiping him, they were praising him because of the things that he did. Praise God. And they began to ask some questions. Are you in fact the Christ? But John said, no, not me. He said, there's one that's coming after me. And I got to let you know I'm not even worthy enough to untie his shoes. Praise God. I must decrease as he what? Increase. Praise God. So we find that this word is something beautiful. Because if we go to Acts chapter 10, somewhere around the 44th verse, we'll find that when Peter started preaching the word, praise God, we find that when Peter started preaching the word, let me say that again. Somebody didn't catch that. When Peter started preaching the word, praise God, Cornelius and his whole house and all of those friends that he had with him that day, praise God, it said that they believed, praise God, because Peter was preaching the word. And the Holy Spirit fell on them. And praise God. And then Peter said something that was cataclysmic in our mind. I see now that God is no respecter of person. Praise God. I'm trying to tell somebody here today. Praise God. We see the revealed word of God as well as we see God, praise God, manifested in the flesh in the incarnate word. And both of them are the same. But praise God, let me close this sermon. Praise God. You see, there's one other thing that we see in this text. Praise God. When we look at Simeon in his prayer of dedication, and it comes from verse 32. He says, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory, praise God, of thy people Israel. You see, the glorification of Israel, I'm talking about the glory of the people of God, was God himself. It was not some earthly king who would come and conquer Rome, but it was God himself who would come and conquer sin. You see, after Jesus was born, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. They laid him in a manger. Luke records at Luke chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, when he says, and suddenly there was the angels, praise with the angels, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying what? Glory to God in the highest. On earth, goodwill, praise God, towards men. You see, what is this glorification of God? It was the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the one who is our Savior and Lord.
You see, his work is our lives. Praise God. His work, excuse me, in our lives comes by the grace, praise God, through faith alone. Yeah. It was set into motion in the Garden of Gethsemane. Yeah. It entered into reality through a baby that was born in a manger. Yes. And it was fulfilled, praise God, on a cross on a hill called Calvary. Yes. You see, talking about being glorified. Yes. You see, when we give God our lives in faith by grace alone, can I tell you something? God is glorified. Yes. When we live day by day in that same faith, God is in fact glorified. When we proclaim the message of salvation, God is in fact glorified. You see, glorification is truly a gift that keeps on giving. You see, this is the last Sunday, praise God, before Christmas. Seven more days. Seven just happens to be the number of spiritual perfection. Seven more days, praise God. There are going to be many who are going to wake up in the morning. They are going to run under their tree or wherever they are going, and they're going to be looking for some gifts. Praise God. But you know, the sad thing is that many already have the gift from God, but it yet remains to be open. Praise God. You see, it's part of the promise that began with salvation. It comes by the way of revelation, and praise God, and it ends with glorification. And just in case you don't know what it is, praise God, it is a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, if you have not accepted God's gift, I'm talking about God's free gift, will you do it today? If you have already received this incredible gift, praise God, you ought to raise your hands. Praise God. I know I got a little problem in my rotator cup, but praise God, guess what? I have received the gift. I can raise my hand. Praise God. You see, we ought to raise our hands because this is the gift that keeps on giving. Hallelujah. You see, if we have the gift, what are you doing with the gift? Oh, I got to ask that question. I see some people smiling back here. If you have the gift, what are you doing with the gift? Let me ask that question, praise God. You see, if we have the gift, amen, there are some things that we ought to be doing with the gift. Can I give you a hint as to what we ought to be doing with the gift? Oh, yeah, you see, we ought to be telling dying men, women, boys and girls, that the wages of sin is death, but that the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only that, we ought to be telling this dying world, praise God, that over 2,000 years ago, this gift of God came into the world and lived, praise God, a non-sinning life. Hallelujah. You ought to be telling this world that over 2,000 years ago, that Jesus died on a cross and rose again from the dead 3 days later, declaring that he has all power in his hand. Praise God. And if you have received this gift, praise God, you ought to be about your Father's business.
In Sunday school this morning, we were talking about staying in your lane. Hallelujah. Sad thing about that is we got some folks who have received a gift and they haven't gotten into any lane. They're not telling nobody about Jesus. They're not telling nobody about their sins. They're not telling nobody, praise God, that the wages of sin is death. Praise God, and that is our lane. We ought to be in that lane. I may not like driving in the slow lane. You may not like driving in the fast lane. But there is a lane that you ought to get in. Praise God, whether it's fast or whether it's slow. Tell somebody, praise God, that we serve a God. And don't you be ashamed of the God that we serve. I got to tell you some things about the God that we serve. You heard some of it up here in the testimony. Praise God, the God that we serve, praise God, he'll put money in your pocket when you're having work, praise God, in over 5 or 6 months. The God that we serve will give you peace in the midst of a storm. The God that we serve, praise God, he will allow you to tell somebody, I was sick, but now I'm well. Praise God. Cancer had wrecked my body, but thank God, I got a God that I serve. Praise God. The God that I serve will have somebody to say, Satan has beat me down with lupus. Beat me down with cancer. Beat me down and come back. Praise God, with a bad kidney. But guess what? I'm still walking. I'm still talking. And until I have life left in my body, I'm going to tell somebody, there is, praise God, there is a praise and worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I know that there was some that didn't get up and testify, but that's all right. You can sit where you are and you could say, praise God, that cancer has stricken my body, but look at me now. And there were some who said, I wouldn't be here. And there were some who were feeling sorry for me. But you want to know the good thing about it? As long as I got my hand in the Lord's hand, praise God, everything is going to be all right. I'm so glad that I got the perfect gift. I got the gift that I needed. I know I needed it, because without that gift, I would be on my way to hell, enjoying the trip. And when I got there, I would have been turned around and said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. But because I have the gift, I'm going to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, but come on up, and I'm going to make you a ruler over everything.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1. You're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacostia